Welcome to God Invention Radio with your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back. We have Mr. Richard Klar, intellectual property attorney. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Brian.
Okay, so I was saying, there's so much to talk about and so little time. And
I never gave a definition of what is a patent and its benefits.
We should definitely do that.
Can I start? Well, basically, a patent's a grant from the U.S. from the government, and basically, you can think of a patent as an agreement between you, the inventor, and the government, where you share your information about your invention, your technology, with the public to better the public. In exchange, you get a limited monopoly. It's limited by the period of time in which to practice your patent and exercise your patent rights. And the patent rights are you have the right to exclude all others from making, using, or selling your patented invention without your permission. The benefits of that is that you have the monopoly. You can stop anyone from using it. You can get injunctive relief. You can get damages if they're infringing your patent rights. And you can also license people under your patent. And you can break up the license in one of a variety of ways, geographically, or you can give an exclusive license, or you may even license segments of your patent. Let's say your patent's for a process and it yields a bunch of different products. You may just want to license one particular product or byproduct, like maybe fly ash from that process, and not the rest of it. So those are called field of use license agreements, where you can kind of limit the license to specific aspects of the patent. So those are some of the benefits.
Okay.
There are different types of patents that you can get. The most common ones are utility patents and design patents. A design patent basically protects the ornamental features of something, for example, the shape of a lamp. And those run for 14 years from the date the patent issues or is granted. A utility patent runs 20 years from the date of filing, and they protect basically the functional features of a patent. They protect articles of machinery. They can protect a process. They can protect mechanical devices.
And another word for the utility patent is a non-provisional patent, right?
Well, actually, you can file a non-provisional, but what happened was several years back, they decided people needed to file patent applications fast in order to secure the dates for a variety of reasons. They permitted people to file provisionals, which are applications which you don't need. They don't have to be they're almost as complete as a regular non-provisional patent application, but they're never examined by the patent office, and you can convert them into non-provisionals within 1 year from the filing date of the provisional. So it gives you a little time. So let's say you have a trade show the next day, and you wanted to file, and you need to file something, and you file something quickly, but hopefully as complete as possible, and that way you shore up your date so you don't have a potential statutory bar if you want to later file in a foreign country where the moment you have a trade show and you show it, you forfeit your rights.
You know,
or
right.
if a one-year on-sale date is coming up and you have been selling it for almost a year, it's 364 days since your sale, and you file, you can still secure patent rights. You don't lose your rights because of a statutory bar.
Okay. You know, when just give an example. I know everybody has different ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no set right way. There's many different ways. But when I come up with an idea, I right away I go on the internet and I take a look and I see if there's anything similar to what I have. And then what I do is I go on Google, Yahoo, MSN. I go on different websites and I put in variations of how my ideas, what the description of my idea. And then what I do is I go on that USPTO.gov website. And there's a icon on the left-hand side. You click on search, do a quick search, and you kind of put in some of the same similar words. And through other patents that are filed, you kind of get to the next one, and you're able to see what's out there. And at that point, I feel like that's when I'm going to try to make some sort of prototype or try to make a work-like, looks-like, seems-like, feels-like type of prototype. And then I feel like that's when I need some sort of protection to be able to get it to the next level. And then So when I'm working on a prototype, that's when I need my NDA, and that's when I probably go to an attorney. And you know, a lot of people say that they can do it yourself. I'm looking at one of the books that say that I have in my library here, Patent Yourself, which I read. Now, I know a lot of people feel like they can do it on their own, and I'm sure that you can over a period of time, but my belief is that when you want to do something, you go to a specialist to do something. That looks like an art to me. When I'm reading a patent, it's all like foreign to me. So that's what you do for a living. If I have something wrong, I want to go to a specialist to make sure that I'm taken care of. So, you know, some people are in different situations. They have money, they don't have money to do it. But, you know, I think it's very, very important if you want to bring your idea to the next level that you should be real serious about it and find the right person to help you and protect your idea. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I think.
I'm sure you would, because you're an attorney.
but if you were to call the USPTO, they don't recommend anyone, but they have a list of the registered patent attorneys and agents that are registered to practice before them, and they provide it to the public because it's very difficult. I've had clients come to me who tried it on their own with disastrous results. Sometimes we can fix things. Sometimes you can't retroactively. So, you know, it's very hard coming in on the second act or something and trying to patch things up. The application has to be very complete when it's written. Otherwise,
you're talking about the utility patent or actually
both,
the provisional?
Both, okay. Of them.
Even the provisional?
Even the provisional. It's supposed to meet the same requirements under the patent statute that anyone reading it with skill in that art would know how to make and use the invention. So
okay.
If there's a gap from going from A to Z and one of the steps is missing, the examiner's going to say that he can't figure out how to make this thing. This is the patent examiner who examines your application.
Not the provisional, the regular patent, right?
Yeah, on the regular one. But the point is that if you're claiming the provisional and you need that to get over prior art to go back to that date, And the provisional is silent on an aspect that's critical, that can come back to haunt you later.
Okay, so it's very important. You know,
you got to do it right from day one.
And that's the thing. You know, there's, and I have to make this point. I know you're an attorney, and, you know, you have to understand on this side of the fence,
yeah,
there's a lot of us that are just really not sure about things. So let me just teach a lesson to our inventors that are listening about what I learned. You go to an attorney and you say, I want to file a provisional patent so I can have 1 year protection on my idea. Great. How much is it going to cost me? One person will say $600. That's great. And another one would say $2,500 or $3,000. Obviously, it's depending on the complexity of your idea.
Yeah.
But
I mean, how many rooms is it?
Right.
Yeah.
The point is, though, Richard, that you need to ask the attorney, how much of the actual patent, the utility patent, are you going to really include in this provisional patent? So before the year is done, when you're going to transfer it into a utility patent or otherwise known as a non-utility patent, non-provisional patent, how much of that money that I'm putting towards this provisional is going to really get put to use towards the full patent? Right?
Yes, that's exactly right. I tend to not charge for a first meeting so that I can, one, give people, get a sense as to how complex their invention is, get an idea as to what can be done. If they're serious about going forward and the invention's pretty much complete, then I recommend going ahead with a non-provisional, because a provisional will never be examined and will never turn into an issued patent, where a non-provisional will. So there's no sense in delaying things. If for certain reasons they want to get something on file right away, or they feel they may have enough but they're not certain, they want to delay it a little longer, that's fine. Then we can do a provisional. But I, based upon how much work's involved and how much work I have to do further, if all I have to do is refile the thing and it's pretty much complete and just pay the larger fee for the non-provisional with the government, that's not going to cost them a whole lot more money.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's a question of how much more work I have to do.
I understand.
And that's it. And that's how I spell it out. And I can pretty much give them an assessment. As long as I know how much more work I have to do, I don't know how radically they're going to change things. So.
Okay, I understand. And,
yeah.
It's very interesting. There's so much to talk about. And in the next segment, We're going to talk about, we'll definitely touch on, because I'm still getting these emails. They're looking for information on copyright and trademark again.
Okay.
So
people,
you know, a lot of people, I guess, put that as, and they think that's part of the invention process.
Those are very important, and I would like to at least touch on some of the key aspects about.
Definitely. We're going to get to that. What I'd like to do is just take a moment and tell you that gotinvention.com is constantly updated. We have guests that are continuing to be posted on there, so you could take a look and see them and their bios. And if you're interested in being a guest on our show, you can email Terry, which is our program director. Thank you, Terry, for all your help. Terry@gotinvention.com. And please give your bio, give a picture, a description of your idea. If you provide a service to inventors, we're happy to have you on our show. We'd like to thank Inventors Digest magazine for their support, and we're definitely going to be doing a lot more with them. Thank you for Mike Drummond and Lewis Foreman for your support. We really appreciate it. So we'll be back in a moment. Richard, your office is in Mineola, New York.
That's right.
You have a website, nypat.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
www.nypat.com.
Right.
Thank you again, Richard. We appreciate your help, and we'll be back in a moment for segment three. While we have one more moment before the break, here's the call-in number, 877-474-3302. Segment three, maybe we'll take some calls on segment three and segment four. 877-474-3302. You're listening to Got Invention Radio with Brian Freed on WSRadio.com.
Voodoo Lounge.
Come see Vegas from our point of view.
Ride the glass elevators 51 stories above the strip to the peak of the Rio All Suite Hotel and Casino.
Find yourself in a spell as we take you inside the Voodoo Lounge.
World champion bartenders flare up your favorite potion.
Perhaps our signature smoking witch doctor will be perfect to accompany you outside to the most incredible, breathtaking view of Vegas.
Gorgeous voodoo dolls dance in their cages to help you get your groove on while you make your way down the winding stairway to the VIP couches.
Listen, dance, chill, and groove to the hottest DJs spinning the top 40 old-school hip-hop mashup in house for your one-of-a-kind local experience.
For VIP reservations, call 777-6875. 777-6875.
Open nightly, and local ladies are always free. Voodoo Lounge,
only at the Rio All Suites Hotel and Casino.
The bottom line is social media can add to your bottom line. This is Angie Swartz, host of Twitter Talk Radio. To learn how social media can work for you, log on to freesocialmedianewsletter.com. Receive regular, short, helpful tips that will show you how social media can take your company to the next level. It is absolutely free and worth every penny. That is freesocialmedianewsletter.com. freesocialmedianewsletter.com.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas by Brian Freed. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95. Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.
The future of radio is on the internet, and WS Radio is leading the way. The internet has continued to grow at an impressive rate, and Web 2.0 is expanding into automobiles, allowing drivers to be able to listen to internet radio through voice activation. WS Radio has been broadcasting since 2001, growing to over 120 shows, and we're now franchising. Set up your own local internet radio station in your city or town anywhere across the nation. Headquartered in San Diego, WS Radio has set up remote studios all over the world, from Australia to England. Our franchising model provides turnkey solutions and back-end production by our highly trained WS Radio staff. From setting up the station to sales training, we'll help you every step of the way. Learn more. Log on to www.bestinternetfranchise.com. That's bestinternetfranchise.com. Own your own local internet radio station.